Morning, everybody. Good morning. We don't have a clock in here at the moment, so we could carry on for 5-10 minutes, and no one will know we started late, but we're... My name's Stephen, the minister of the church here. For those who are visitors to us, understand, is it Hamilton, is that right? Yeah, so look, how far away is Hamilton from here? Really? You've come a long way just for a Sunday service. It's so good. It's great to have you. Welcome. Do find a seat wherever there's room. It's lovely to see you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you welcome us with open arms, whether we've been here 1,000 times or this is our first time. You love us. You love us. You love each one of us. And this is a good place to be. For those who are listening to this service or watching this service online, where you are, you are in God's presence once you incline your heart towards Him. So, Lord, we pray, meet us today. Give us your Holy Spirit to worship and to understand more of who you are and how great your love is. To hear your word, to receive it, to put it into practice, and to pray for others. Amen. Right, a few notices, exciting notices this week, which is great. We've tried to make them always exciting, but sometimes they're a bit more functional. But today's notices are exciting because we have a church meeting on Tuesday. Yes! Oh, good. You're getting the hang of it. Tuesday church meetings are something to be looked forward to. We're going to be exploring, discerning what it means. God dropped this word in. The harvest is coming. Build bigger barns. What does that mean? The deacons and myself had an away day praying about that. But it's for the whole church to discern what is God saying to us at this time. What do we need to do? But first of all, what is God doing? So that's a Tuesday. We'll also be looking back on the Ministry of Renew. Because Debbie's got an induction service as part of our Sunday service next Sunday. Debbie's going to be inducted and commissioned as a recognized local minister. So we're going to be looking forward, but it's also important to look back to review what's happened over the last 3 years. So that's going to happen at the church meeting as well. So that's going to be good. Next Sunday, as I say, we have a special service. Carl Smethurst, one of the regional ministry team from the Southwest Baptist Association, is coming to induct. It seems a strange word. He's not going to induce Debbie, but he is going to induct her as a regional local minister, commission her as such. And we also, to celebrate the work of Renew, we have a picnic in the garden. Do bring a chair. In wet weather, we'll go in the links office and overlook in the garden. But do come along if you can as a celebration of what God's been doing. The garden is looking beautiful, and thank you to those who came yesterday to add to its beauty and its how it all works. So that was great. Lastly, just to say that we have prayer ministry team here. They've got yellow lanyards around their necks, just a few of us. And if during the service God is speaking to you and you know that you need to do business with God, you need God's help, you need Him to intervene in your life, to deal with things, and it would be helpful to have someone pray with you, then do come to the front of the church after the service, and there'll be people there who can pray with you. They're not going to be doing anything to you, but they would just come alongside asking God's help in your life. Because when we meet here on a Sunday, we are expecting that we go out different. Who's expecting to go home different to how they came in? Yes. Not 6 inches taller. Can't offer that. And we can't turn you absolutely beautiful model style person. We're all there already, aren't we? I mean, we don't need it. But we can be transformed from one degree of glory to another. And God can bring healing and freedom. And if that's for you today, then don't go away without being here to have someone pray with you. I've got a question for our children. Just, I'm going to start with you here, girls. When at night you go outside and look up at the sky, what do you see? Pardon?
A wind.
A wind. You can feel the wind. That's interesting. And what can you see? What do you think you see when you look up at the sky at night? What do you
sometimes see the moon.
You sometimes see the moon. What else could you see? Children first. What do you see? What do you see? Lexi, yeah.
Stars.
Now, that's a start. You see stars. How many? How many stars can you see? Oh, good question. Yeah, yeah.
It's uncountable.
Wonderful. Uncountable. You can see, I'm told, if you were in a dark sky area, 8,000 with your naked eye, with your eyes. You could see 8,000. But the number of stars is uncountable. There are billions of galaxies, billions of stars. When you listen to, what's his name, Peter Cox or Brian Cox, he's a great guy, isn't he? Yeah, blows your mind. There are so many stars, not only can we not count them, we can't give them names. We have to give them numbers. But even then we run out because they are uncountable. But there's an amazing thing about God, and this is why we're worshiping him today. God doesn't use numbers for the stars. And that's not because God can't count them. He knows the name of every star. Does anybody know the name of a star? Adults included. Yes?
Aldebaran.
Sorry. Tell me the name of a star.
Aldebaran.
Oh, that sounds posh. Aldebaran. Ian at the back.
Betelgeuse.
Sorry?
Betelgeuse or Betelgeuse.
Betelgeuse. That's the name of a... Beetlejuice, name of a film, isn't it? Beetlejuice. Anybody else know the name of a star? Yes, Angela.
The sun.
Oh, very good. We all ought to have got that one. Anybody else know the name of a star? Yes, Debbie over here.
The North Star.
The North Star. Anybody else? Are we running out already? Joe at the back. Right.
I think it's called Arcturus.
Arcturus. Wow. Posh. We've only got a handful of names. But God has given a name to every star. So to lead us into worship this morning, we are going to read just a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, the skies. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. God looks over the universes and he makes sure every star is there. Unbelievable. So as we worship this morning, let's not have a too small God. And we're going to start our worship with "Our God is an awesome God." I would encourage those with children, though it's in our, the back there. If you want instruments, they're at the front here. If your children like to use instruments, do grab them. Adults, feel free as well. During our worship time, please feel free to stand or to sit. We have times of silence, of quiet. We have times when God brings a word to us, a scripture or a prophetic word. This is a time to meet with Him. Wisdom, but He's also awesome in His great love and His desire to bless us. Those that the world might not think are worth anything, He values. He blesses us and desires to bless us because He loves us. And so we say to our souls, worship the Lord. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord.
Thank you.
It's an amazing thing that when we worship, God chooses to inhabit the praises of his people. He makes his home here in our hearts and in this place as we praise. Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you.
Welcome in.
Amen. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Thank you, Lord, that whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's going on in the world, there is nothing too hard for you to do. There is no problem too great that you are not able to deal with. And you are already working with. Lord, you say, first of all, I urge you to pray for kings, governments, all those in authority. And Lord, even as he woke up this morning with the news that there's been an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, and people have died, Lord, we are aware that we're in our sinful, broken, evil world, but you are Lord, and you are on the throne. We trust ourselves into your hands today. Amen. We're going to take up our offering now. This is an invitation to join in with what God's doing. And if you come prepared for an offering, this is the time. Our visitors, our guests, we're not expecting things from you. We'd just love to see you here. But if you want to give to God's work, then feel free. Thank you very much. Father, we thank you that you are a wonderfully generous God. You've given us so much. But you also say, you come and join in. And so we could give to you, the God of the universe, we could give to you. And we pray that these gifts would be received by you and used by you, so that many more people will come to know your love and power. Amen. Right, I've got a question. Who's been watching the football? These are keen. What are you doing tonight?
Watching the whole football game at the pub.
Watching the football game at the pub.
I'll be watching at home.
You'll be watching at home. Who else has been watching the football? Yes, Angela, have you been enjoying it?
Yeah, my brother and I have been shouting my sister-in-law down.
Who else shouts at the TV? Yes, Jamie shouts at the TV. Who's going to win? You heard it here first, those listening online. I wonder, will there be somebody who scores an amazing goal? Who is the one who scored the first amazing goal? Pardon?
Jude Bellingham.
Can you act it out for us? Yeah, you'd have to be brilliant. But it was like this, wasn't it? It was. Who could do a bicycle kick here? Anybody? Yes, Jamie can. Excellent. Oh, yes, brilliant. Young lady can. Fantastic. So there was a wonderful goal by Jude Bellingham. And then, Who was the last wonderful goal? Oh, they know. Jamie, can you tell us full name, please?
Ollie Watkins.
Who's a local boy, is that right? But born in Torquay, yes?
And Zaka scored a great goal.
Zaka scored a great goal as well. So, there has been a lot of debate and arguments about why we won particular games or why we lost, or other sides won and lost. And doubtless the same will be true today. The punters will be discussing, particularly at halftime, what we should have done and what we shouldn't have done. There will be heroes and there'll be villains. We all know from the past, there's the one who misses the penalty kick. And Saka missed the penalty kick in the final that meant we didn't win the Euros last time. And this time, he scored a wonderful goal and he also scored one of the penalties. Yeah, we were on holiday and we'd booked the restaurant Saturday night on the football game. There weren't many people in the restaurant, fun enough. Even though we were in Wales, but it was good. We got the first half. And Leslie, during the second half while we were eating, found out we'd both equalized and then won 5-3 on penalties. See, it's got everybody. I heard today on the news what you often hear. They're going for glory. They're going for glory. It's all about people winning and losing. And the same is true for tennis. Who's been watching the tennis? We seem to have always got our holidays sorted for tennis. So someone's been watching Wimbledon. Now, if I got it right, is it Krejcikova? Something like that. Lovely lady. Can't say her name. But she won, beating Paolini. Who was up for Paolini? Who wanted Paolini? Yes. Some of us wanted Paolini to win, others. But the commentators will be talking about those who have a better backhand. Who's got a good tennis backhand? Anybody got a good tennis backhand? Or tennis forehand? How much spin, flat, top spin, slice? They've all been talking about it, and they're all going for the glory of victory. Now, over the past few weeks, we have been looking at the Old Testament part of the Bible. That is the bit before Jesus was born. It's the largest part of the Bible. And it tells us everything God wanted us to know before Jesus was born. And when we've been looking at these different accounts in the Bible, there has been a common theme. A victory for God's people. God's people have overcome what's gone on. Anybody remember? I'll start with the children, because you've been here. Anybody remember who we've been looking at in the Bible so far over the last few weeks? I'll give, not Jilly, you are a child, but not for the purpose of this. What about the short one and the tall one? A giant. Who was the giant? Do you remember? Say it again.
Goliath.
Yes, there was David and Goliath. David killed Goliath, and the Israelites triumphed over the Philistines. Do you remember anybody else? Who else have we been looking at?
We've been looking at Moses and the burning bush.
You've been looking at Moses and the burning bush, and he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and then somebody else took them into the promised land. What happened? What do we hear? I think it was 2 weeks ago. So, adults, you can help me now. Oh, no, got an answer. Yep. What happened? Who was it?
Joshua.
And what happened?
He continued to reign for the Israelites instead of Moses when Moses died.
He carried on instead of when Moses died, he led the Israelites. And they went to a place called Jericho. And what happened to Jericho? This strong fortified city shouted out, "The walls came tumbling down." Yeah, David told us about this. Brilliant. Then there was another little guy, a timid guy. Gideon. And he led a huge number of Israelites to win a victory? No. Numbers matter, according to Philip. How many was it? 300. Only 300. He started off with 10,000, went down to 300. And a small number of the Israelites conquered this vast army of the Midianites, the Amalekites, the people of the east, and so on. They were all great obstacles. There was even Noah, who overcame the flood. This was a flood that covered the whole world. So as it turned out, the stories, the accounts that we've heard about, all true that we've heard about, all involve great victories. Goliath was a giant. Jericho, a strong-walled city. The Midianite army, too many to count, but they were all overcome by stupid Noah building an ark. He wasn't so stupid, was he, when the floods came? Weak young David and a sling overcame a giant. Joshua and the people blowing trumpets. Anybody here blowing a trumpet 2 weeks ago? Yes! I heard it. You had a bit of fun. It's the last time I go away on holiday. Absolutely raucous behavior amongst everybody here. It sounded great fun. It sounded great fun. Blowing trumpets and shouting. Whoever overcame a city by blowing trumpets and shouting? Well, Joshua and the Israelites did. And then Gideon, the least in his family, in the weakest clan, in the half-tribe of Manasseh, just 300 people. And what did they do to win the battle? What was it? Got the answer here. Yeah, what was it?
Gideon took 10,000 men, then God showed him how to win with 3,000 men. They were just shouting horns, and then the enemies thought they had loads of an army, and they ran away.
Exactly right. Just 300 men all round the camp. They broke their pots, and they had all they had was a torch and a clay pot and a trumpet, and they didn't have any arm, you know, any weapons, and they just shouted. They just shouted. So, this is all good news. And it's interesting, because I just said to the preachers, you choose what you like. Just pray and ask God to give you. And this is good news. This is power to the underdog. This is a very British church, is it? We are supporters of the underdog. Djokovic hasn't got it at Wimbledon. He thought they were all booing him. They weren't. They were just supporting the underdog. He doesn't understand. If Britishers have got an underdog, as someone who's really weak, and someone who's really strong, we're for the weak one. That's the way we operate, generally. And so, as we have heard these sermons, week by week by week, so we have seen that the underdog, the one who shouldn't overcome, has overcome. But let's not miss the important point. The reason why these victories came, the only reason why they came, was that God was fighting the battle. And his people listened to him for his battle plan. That's what David said 2 weeks ago. God has a battle plan. They listened to it and they obeyed him. Even Noah, he had a plan given to him by God. That's how you build the ark. And he did. And it saved him. Today is going to be different. Today is going to be different. Today we're looking at a loss, a defeat. When God gives people a great victory, it's amazing how quickly they forget that it was him who gave it. People have short memories and forget how they won, or rather, how God won. King Saul was really grateful for David, the shepherd boy, killing Goliath. But it wasn't long before he was so jealous of David that he tried to kill him. As soon as Gideon died, the Israelites went back to worshipping the false god Baal and bowing down to him. They didn't remember the Lord their God, who'd rescued them from all their enemies on every side, and they failed to show kindness to Gideon's family, for all the good he'd done for them. Gideon had saved them in God's strength, with God's wisdom, and they forgot about him, and they forgot about God. What about Joshua and the Israelites after their victory at Jericho? Surely they would remember that it was God who had worked this miraculous destruction of Jericho. How did they get on? And that's where we come to our reading today, which Peter's going to bring us. You could read the full story further on, but this is just a bit of it.
Yes, the reading is from the book of Joshua, chapter 7, starting at verse 1, and the heading is Achan's sin. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen, they have lied, they have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run, because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." Amen.
So, who won? Who won that battle? Yes, the enemy of Israel. Who was it called? I don't know how you pronounce it. I. So who lost? Who lost? The Israelites. The Israelites lost. They were the favorites to win, as we might say today. Based on what had happened at Jericho, the spies who checked out the city said, "Not all the people have to go up against it. Just send 2,000 or 3,000 to take it. Do not weary all the people, for there are only a few men there." But the Israelites lost their battle against the city, their first loss. 36 of the Israelites were killed, and so the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. What went wrong? Joshua almost tries to blame God. You've delivered us into the hands of our enemies. What will you do for your great name? God, it's your problem. It's your fault. Almost is what he's saying. But God tells him straight, you're the problem. You're the problem. There are three things that had happened. Number one, sin. Disobeying God. The Israelites had disobeyed God. Only one of them. And it's often, isn't it, when you see teams, thinking about the sports teams and so on, if one of them breaks the rules, it's a penalty. It doesn't need five of them, just one. In this case, Achan. He'd taken a beautiful Babylonian robe, 200 shekels of silver, a lot of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. He'd coveted them. He desired them. I want that. He took them into his tent, buried them under the ground in his tent. This was completely against what Joshua had commanded them. If you'd read earlier in chapter 6, you'll see he tells them, don't you take anything. The silver and gold belongs to God. The devoted things, don't take them. Devoted things, I imagine, were things that were there to worship false gods. God knows what Achan has done, and he cannot overlook it. He will not overlook it. He will not bless a sinful people with victory. They need to deal with this sin to destroy it. If you read on the story, that's your homework today, carry on reading, you'll find out what happened. So there was sin. The second thing was pride. Pride comes before a fall. We'll be brilliant. We're fantastic. We are strong enough to take this city. We don't need all the people. Just 2,000 or 3,000 will do. As we heard last week in the account of Gideon, numbers are important. The spies had done the calculations. In human terms, ignoring God, ignoring sin, they thought it would be an easy task to take the city. We've got too many people, they said. It was interesting, isn't it? Because God told Gideon, you've got too many people. For his plan, you've got too many people. They've got the idea, oh, we've got too many people. We don't need all the people. We just need 2,000 or 3,000. That'll do because we're the Israelites. Pride came before a fall. So there was sin, there was pride, and then thirdly, Joshua listened to the wrong person. I imagine all sorts of people in the press, if I bother to read it, are telling Gareth Southgate who to pick for tonight's game. There's been all sorts of advice, hasn't there? Who you should substitute, when you should bring them on, what position to play, what 4-4-2 or you know. All sorts of people give advice. Joshua listened to the wrong person. He decided to send out spies, as he'd done before with Jericho. And when he came back, he listened to them, but he didn't seek the Lord. He acted on the advice, on the suggestions of the spies. He didn't listen to the Lord, he listened to the people. If Joshua had sought the Lord, God would have told him about Achan's sin and that he couldn't take the city of Ai until it was dealt with. those 36 people would not have died. David told us 2 weeks ago that God has a battle plan. And that's the plan that he had for Jericho. But how could Joshua know what God's battle plan was for Ai if he didn't ask him for it? So, what has this to do with us now? Because I don't think any of us are thinking about marching in and taking the city of Exeter or something, are we? Just because we could. We face different types of battles in our lives. And we're facing them right now. Children and adults. Some of us are facing the battle of somebody at school that's bullying us. I was bullied for the whole of my secondary school until I came to sick form. It was horrible. So we face battles at school. We may face battles in our homes. And that's perhaps the most difficult place, because that should be a safe place, but it's not. We may face physical, mental, emotional, spiritual battles. We may have a real struggle with learning, with not being angry. I don't know what it is. There'd be all sorts of things going on in our lives. God has a battle plan for us to overcome, to win. But we need to ask him for it. We need to put it in practice, in full, so that God gets the glory and we see the victory. There's one other battle that we've looked at, one other account in the Bible that I forgot when I was writing the first part of this message down. And I thought, oh, there's one I forgot. We've not mentioned yet. What was the other one? The other, for those who are visiting, you won't be able to answer this question unless you've been listening online. What was the other battle that we've looked at in the Old Testament that I've not mentioned yet? The one that I did. It's a really difficult name to get right. King. Hezekiah was the king of Judah, but who was it who came against him? Sennacherib. Come on, all say together, Sennacherib. You're not going to forget that now, are you? Sennacherib came against Hezekiah through his commander saying, with great pride, I'm going to get you. I've got all the other nations. Who do you think you are? Who do you think your God is that you can escape me? I've beaten everybody else, conquered them all, taken them into slavery. I'm in charge. Your God will not save you. What did Hezekiah do faced with this attack? He went straight to the Lord. He went to the temple. He prayed. He spread out. Some of you did those sheets of paper. Do you remember? We put them here. We spread out the problem before the Lord and sought his word. And Isaiah the prophet said, this is what to do. This is what's going to happen. And in this case, how did Hezekiah and the Israelites beat Sennacherib's armies of Assyria? How did they beat them? What did they have to do? Pray and nothing. You can't remember because they didn't do anything. Wake up one morning and found that God had just organized them to destroy each other completely. 135,000, I think it was. They just wiped each other out and went back. And King Sennacherib, as prophesied, was killed by his own sons. The point was, Hezekiah went to the Lord. The first thing he did. And that's our lesson. Whatever you're facing today, and whatever's coming up this week, next month, next year, we go to the Lord and we help each other. That's why we had the got a question.
Hezekiah wear rags when he was praying to the Lord?
He did. Thank you. Hezekiah wore rags or sackcloth because he went to the Lord and said, and he dressed, took his royal robes off. It's not me being a king that's going to save us. I'm lowering myself, humbling myself to pray. And you're absolutely right. He humbled himself to pray and said, God, we need your help. You alone. And that's what we're coming to finish our message. There's a wonderful bit in the Bible that I'm going to put on the website. I would encourage you to memorize this. Many of you already know it. And in fact, you could probably say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Jesus came that we might have life and life to the full, abundant life. That's what Boys Brigade, their focus is on. He wants us to overcome, to win in his terms, not in the world's terms. To overcome. So what do we do with all that we're learning and with that scripture in our mind? We don't trust in our own strength. Like Hezekiah, we acknowledge we can't do it. We can't do it. Leslie and I have been thinking about that recently. This is impossible situation we're in. We can't do it. We don't trust in our numbers, our ability, our cleverness, our experience. We don't trust in how long we've been a Christian. We don't trust in our works. We don't trust in our understanding. We seek the Lord and his word for our situation, his battle plan. We lean on the Lord. It says, don't lean on your own understanding. You lean on the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Secondly, we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. We say, Jesus is Lord of school, of home, of work, of health, of everything. We seek Jesus to live for him, to seek his glory, to seek his kingdom. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as is in heaven. His righteousness alone. The battle is about him and his glory. The footballers tonight will be seeking for their glory. But some of them, and I think Saka included, whose glory will he be seeking? God's glory, because he's a Christian. And God comes above anything else. So, the battle's about him and his glory, and he will help us overcome. He will help us overcome every situation if we let him and seek him. So we don't trust in our own strength. We acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. And then we follow his straight path. When he tells us what to do, we need to do it. When he tells us what to do, we need to do it. It's as simple as that. His path is straight, not crooked, not sinful. We don't grab stuff for us. Remember that beautiful robe and the silver and the gold? We flee temptation. We play by the rules. In Boys Brigade last night, they were looking at the rules and the umpire. Who wants to be an umpire? Who wants to be a referee? Tricky. We need to play by God's rules. Victory will look different for each one of us. Sometimes it's difficult to understand what God is doing, and what he thinks is victory can be very different to what we think. But we need to trust him and obey him. There's an old hymn that many of us know and sing. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Some of the truest words ever put in a hymn. Let's pray. Joshua said to the Lord, "Pardon me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord." Lord, we want to say sorry for when we have trusted in ourselves or trusted someone else rather than you, where we've tried to do it on our own, looking for our glory. Forgive us, Lord, where we've blamed you when things have gone wrong. Jesus, you came to the cross and died that we might be forgiven. So we know when we say sorry and mean it, you will forgive us. So we pray now that you will forgive us everything. Give us a fresh start, we pray. Amen. And now we're going to ask God for help. Joshua got into trouble. Men died because he didn't ask for God's help. Lord, may we always ask you for help, and we ask you for help right now. You know our hearts. You know what's going on in our lives, in our families, those we're concerned about. You know what's going wrong as well as what's going right. We ask you for help. And Lord, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will help us do what you tell us to do, to say what you tell us to say, to forgive who you tell us to forgive. Lord, help us to put into practice your plan for our lives. Amen. We're going to sing a song that underlines those prayers. God, I look to you. Thank you. seated. We have another opportunity in just a moment to raise the roof, to cause structural damage to the building, as we sing a song which puts our faith and trust in God alone. But before we do that, we have been able to pray for ourselves today. But there are many who can't pray for themselves, don't pray for themselves, because they don't know the God we've been hearing about. And I'm thinking particularly that we pray for those in authority, that just pray for our government. Some are Christians, many are not. Some claim to be Christians, but are not. It would be good to pray for our government, to pray for wisdom and courage to do the things short-term and long-term that need doing. Particularly in America at the moment, the enemy is having a field day. And polarization and this event, latest event, will be used to, again, to divide rather than unite by evil forces and forces in heavenly realms. But we can pray for something different. Let's pray short prayers, powerful prayers, because they're simple to a powerful God. Let's pray. Pray together for our sister Sheila, who is in great pain with her hip, with stuff going on that has not yet been discerned and dealt with. And Lord, we look to you. We know that Sheila has trusted you and has come through all sorts of attacks in the health terms, being told that she would be blind, and but being not being so, having come through that, having come through so many things. Lord, we pray for our beloved sister that you would comfort her, strengthen her, and bring healing and deliverance. And we pray too for Rowena, who has struggled over such a long period of time. Lord, we know that when we have attacks, some of them can be one-offs. Others can go on and on and on. And so we stand with Rowena, and we stand with all those who are struggling with ongoing problems that are, as the medics would call them, chronic problems. And so, Lord, may we turn to you and keep turning to you. And, Lord, may we see the breakthrough that brings glory to your name. Amen. If you're able to, let's stand and say the Lord's Prayer together. And those people that are on your hearts that you've been thinking about, we've been praying, include them in this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure, because I'm easily confused and I've been on holiday. Did I miss something out of the Lord's Prayer? Oops. It's very appropriate, because will you please forgive me? Let's say the bit we missed out, shall we? The bit we missed out. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know what it's like, don't you? You know what it's like. We need to forgive us, so we need to forgive. Thank you for you bearing with me. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. So for all troubled and forgetful ministers and everybody else, thank you. There is grace in abounding. Leslie. Wonderful. Building just about intact. We started off with with Isaiah chapter 40. Just a blessing from the last words. Lord, I pray, awesome God, creator God, that you will give strength to the weary, increase the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Lord, bless us all with the desire to wait on you. Renew our strength. Enable us to soar like eagles, free, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not be faint. In the name of Jesus, amen.